Start back up for the Saturday afternoon session with Rex.
Thanks, John.
Rex, compulsive overeater. And as tradition, should we start with God? Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Well, I believe I left off on step four, starting step five. So if you have a big book, we'll start on page... it's into action, chapter 6, page 72. And it says, this brings us to the fifth step of the program of recovery mentioned in the preceding chapter. It is perhaps difficult, especially discussing our defects with another person. We think we have done well enough in admitting these things to ourselves. There is doubt about that. In actual practice, we usually find a solitary self-appraisal insufficient. Many of us thought it necessary to go much further. We would be more reconciled to discuss ourselves with another person when we see good reasons why we should do this. The best reason first, if we skip this vital step, I guess it's a vital step, we may not overcome compulsive eating. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives, trying to avoid this humbling experience. They have turned to easier methods. I've heard before that we're only as sick as our secrets. It's funny. I shared a fifth step with my sponsor, which is Dave right here. It was up at Camp Alegre. And I went to a men's retreat because I really wanted to focus on what I was doing. Because when I go to the other retreats, I kind of not as focused. Because I get, some of the female, I want to talk to them, and I don't know, I'm single, so still trying to connect. But when I went to that men's retreat, maybe 5 years ago, I think, up at Alegre, I remember going for a hike up with Walter and some other guys, and we went up to, I think we did like a 10 or 11 mile hike, and so I did my third step at the top of that mountain. Then came down and finished my fourth step. And then that night, I always remember Dave. I just finished my fourth step, and I was like, Dave, can I do my fifth step? And he said, can we wait till after dinner? And I go, okay. Because that took me a long time to finish my fourth step, and I wanted him to say, okay, let's do it right now. And we had dinner, and then I remember him... sitting with me, and he was taking notes as I was giving him my fifth step, and I was like, man, what is he taking notes about, so after a while, after I shared my fifth step, I was told not only to share my resentments, my sexual inventory, my fear inventory, but I was also told to share my deepest, darkest secrets. So I shared that I was molested as a boy by an older person, a man, and that's a secret I kept for like 35 years. I stuffed it. Boy, I sure did a lot of drinking and eating about it, and keeping people away from me. Since then, I've gone to therapy and stuff, but that was one of the secrets I shared with another person, and since then, it's taken me to further instigate that with professionals. I also shared, I can't remember what I shared with him. I think maybe I touched a dog inappropriately once, which I was ashamed of or whatever, but that's something that I did. And, so the funny thing is, so after I shared my fifth step with my sponsor, Dave, he started telling me some of the things he did. And boy, he's worse than me. I mean, he did a lot of worse things than I ever did. I mean, he talked about 13-stepping. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry, I think I broke his anonymity. But, you know, so he shared some stuff, and I go, wow, I didn't feel like such bad of a guy. You know, he's heard a lot of his steps, and, you know, all of a sudden I felt like a freedom. And, you know, the great thing about this fifth step, I love the big book, you know. So it has some promises here. After we do, so we go to page 75, and it says, we pocket our pride and go to it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we are delighted. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness to our Creator. We have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we're beginning to have a spiritual experience. That feeling that the compulsive overeating problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel that now we're on a highway, on a broad highway, walking hand in hand with the Spirit of the universe. So I did experience quite a few of those, you know, especially sharing about my deep, dark secrets and all my resentments. It took me probably 7 months to do my fourth step. But in actual hours, it probably took me, I couldn't even say 20 hours to do it. It took me that many months, but actually getting down and writing my fourth step, I mean, because when I start working, I want to get this over with. But to me to get down, I had to, you know, figure out a perfect way to do it. And I heard that the only perfect way, not perfect way of doing it, is not doing it. So there's no perfect way of doing a fourth step. The only way of not doing it right is not doing it at all. So once I shared my fifth step, the big book goes into returning home. We find a place where we can be quiet for an hour, carefully reviewing what we have done. We thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know Him better. Taking this book down from our shelf, we return to the page which contains the 12 steps. And that's page 59. Carefully reading the first five proposals, we ask ourselves if we have admitted anything, for we are building an arch through which we shall walk a free man at last. So I take this book off the shelf when I get home, and I go. The first five proposals are the first five steps. So here, I go. Do I admit that I'm powerless over food and that my life has become unmanageable? Check. Yes, I do. Yeah. Have I come to believe that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity? Well, let's see. I can't do anything about my sanity. God has removed my compulsive overeating. So, yes, I do believe that a power greater than me can restore me to sanity, at least in the food. Yeah. In other areas of my life, too. So I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood God. You know, once I heard this analogy, and I really liked it, there's three frogs sitting on the log. One of them decides to jump. How many frogs are left on the log?
Three.
Three, good, yeah. So a decision is usually followed by action. So once you made that third step, the third step of turning your will and your life over to the care of God also means the continued process of trusting to continue the other steps. So then you go to step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of myself. And yes, I've done that. And then I admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. I did that with my sponsor. I've done two more fifth steps. So I've probably done, looks like I'm at a rate where I'm doing one every other year right now, and I probably should do them quicker. I do 10 steps, but that's where I'm at, and I'm about due to do the steps over again. I don't know why that's good for me. Some people do them regularly. Some people don't. Some people can do very well with 10, 11, 12. Sometimes I seem like if I'm living in the bedevilments, and I did the steps 2 years ago, why am I in the bedevilments? Maybe it's time for me to look at myself again and go through the steps again. So Let's go back here to... Sorry, I just have these pages marked. With it wasn't 72, so then... carefully reading the first five proposals, have we omitted anything, for we're building an arch through which we'll pass a free man, alas. Is our work solid so far? Yes, my work is solid. Are there perhaps stones, are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement put into the foundation? Have we tried to make motor out of sand? Ah. English is my second language. But anyway, that's my excuse. So then we go to step six. In the beginning of program, I had a lot of difficulties because I thought that I was supposed to remove my defects of character. Boy, that was really hard, you know. At that time, I was using the OA workbook, which I think is very great. It's one of the tools I've used, the OA 12 and 12. And I like the big book. So I started writing, and I can't remember the questions very well in the OA 12 and 12. But it said, are you ready to have God remove all these defects? What does it mean to be entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character? And that first question stunned me, because I was thinking, what does it mean to be entirely ready? I don't know. I'm still stunned on that question. But so here in the big book it says, we have emphasized a willingness as being indispensable. Oh, this is step six, sorry. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? So, something that is objectionable. Like, well, let's see, I'll give my God my food. I'll give God my relationship, but, you know, I'm not going to have God control my finances. Because that's something I need that I won't turn over to him. See, because I need to be in fear and control of my finances. So, now can he take them all, every one? Can God take all of my fears away? My resentments? If we still cling to something we will not let go, we ask God to help us be willing. Earlier in our small group, I was the one, we were dealing with the character defects, and in that we read something on steps 6 and 7, and it's, I like this one analogy, that this person said that he lived in an apartment complex, and he had this bush right in front of his window. And every once in a while, he had to go out there and trim the leaves so he can see the ocean. So every once in a while, he'd go out there. And then, you know, it got so bad, he had to start clipping the branches. So he'd do the branches, but then they would come up. More leaves and more branches would come up. So here he is. He's trying to control his character defects. They keep sprouting up. No matter what he does, he goes out there, cuts them, so he's trying to control his character defects. Until he got hold of the landlord and had the landlord remove the tree and all the branches and all the roots, then he got rid of the problem. So the landlord, I guess, in this situation would be my higher power. So if I'm trying to control my character defects, good luck for me. Yeah, I have to have God remove them in his time. And so, let's see. So then it goes to step seven. It says, when ready, we say something like this. My Creator, I am not willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. We have then completed step seven. You know, I've heard a lot of discussion about people saying making a list of their character defects. To some people, that's beneficial. It's good to know them. But if I have character defects and I'm making the list, you know, maybe my list isn't listing all my character defects because I'm self-centered in selfishness. So if I'm creating this list, you know, I might omit some things. So I need to turn my character defects over to God and have Him remove them when He sees fit. Somebody shared earlier, too, that some of my character defects could be useful for God. I think it was at a retreat not too long ago where this man used to talk a lot at meetings. I can't remember his name. I think it was like two retreats ago I went. And he said that he used to talk for so long and, you know, people always were angry at him because he would talk after the timer rang and whatever. And, you know, and he had this gift of talking. Everybody didn't like him because of this. But he was the one that started, I think, is it called Podcast in L.A.? He's the one that started putting all those on the website and everything. So his gift, I mean, now that's why we have that, because he needed to get his word out or whatever. So he used that character defects, or God let him use that character defects in a way that would benefit OA or us. So there comes, after we've done a step seven, we go to step eight. And the way I like to do a step eight is I like to make 3x5 cards, and I put the name of the person. And then next to the name of the person, I put a plus if I'm willing to make the amends, and a minus if I'm not willing to make the amends. And then I write below that, I write the address where this person's at. Then after that, the harm that I've caused them. So I'm clear. So then I'll go through two piles. There's a pile that I'm willing to do the amends. So I put those in one pile. The other pile are amends that I'm not willing to do yet. So I pray about those amends, to be willing to make those amends someday. So then I go out to make my amends. How do I make amends? I wrote out a list here. So the first thing you do when you go out to make amends, and this I found this to be very beneficial. Probably nobody could see this. I don't think so.
Hard for me to see it.
So it says to make face-to-face amends when possible, or gravesite. It says that in the big book here. I don't know what page it's on, but somewhere here. Then it says you state why you are here. Second thing you do is state, this is the harm that I am clear on. You state the harm that you are clear on. The third thing is there any other harm I'm not aware of that you need to tell me about? So you ask them. Number four, do you need to tell me how any of this has hurt you personally or your company? And fifth, is there anything I can do to make this right? So you ask them, is there anything I can do to make this right? And remember, if you're making financial amends, you're not giving them your money. You're giving back what's theirs. So it's not like we're giving them I have to give them my money. No, that's not my money. That's their money. If I'm making financial amends. I'm going to do step 10, 11, 12 later. There was some talk about hiking, and some people want to hike right after, maybe like at 3:15 and go for the 1-hour hike up to see the waterfalls. And somebody mentioned some interest. I can't see where that person is right now. Yeah, here. So There's a few of us that are going to do that, and you're welcome to meet, and maybe we'll meet here at 3:15 right back there. So we'll have, this ends at 3, so we can have time to go for a hike and come back. And then after that, I'm probably going to do like a half an hour yoga, if it's 3, 4, probably like a 4:30 maybe here. It's a beginning yoga class, and it's a stretch class, and it's anybody can do it. It's for all levels. If I can do it, anybody can do it. That's all I got. Thanks.
I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm Jim.
Hi, Jim.
We have some additional topics here, I guess what we're going to do, we're going to try to count off so we can get in different groups with different people, and then we'll pick these topics. But before we do that, I'd like to, since I got a little time here, I'd like to share a story with you, and then my experience with the third step. My Al-Anon sponsor was fortunate enough to go to New York with his sponsor when Bill Wilson was still alive. And they went to Bill Wilson's office, and he was a newcomer at the time. And he sat there and listened to Chuck Chamberlain and Bill Wilson spend an hour in conversation. And I had never heard this story from him before. And he just listened. And at the end of the hour, Bill Wilson said, "Well, if you're ever back in town again, come and see me." And he was really impressed. He was a newcomer. Oh, Bill Wilson asked me to come back to see him. And he thought, well, he's probably just saying that. I'll probably never get a chance to see him again. Well, it turned out later on he was on business, and he did end up in New York. And he thought, well, he told me to call, so I'm going to call him. So he called up the office, and Bill's secretary answered, and he said, Bill had told me to call if I was ever in town again, and I just wanted to call and tell him I was in town. And you know, he didn't have any expectation Bill Wilson was going to take the call. And she said, hold on just a minute. You know, and she transferred the call right through to Bill Wilson. And he said, Bill Wilson said to him, well, get up here as soon as you can. He said, I'll order some lunch. Get up to the office and we can spend an hour together. And boy, he was really excited. He said, couldn't wait to get up there. And you know, he got there, and then my sponsor shared this story. And that's all the farther he went with it. He shared this story when he was speaking one night. And so I couldn't wait to get him after the meeting. I said, well, what the hell did they, what did you guys talk about? I said, it was just a fascinating story. I wanted to know what they discussed. And he said, most of the time, he said, it was shortly after Bill had written the traditions, and he was very excited about the traditions. And so he was sharing, you know, his thoughts on the traditions and how excited he was about, you know, AA adopting the 12 traditions and so forth. And then he went into talking about the third and the 11th step. He went on quite at length about the third and the 11th step. And, you know, I was just fascinated by that story. And after I'd heard it, I thought, well, I'm gonna take some time here and focus on that third and 11th step. I thought that was a good project for me. Well, as I shared with you the other night, the 11th step turned into this exercise thing. That's how I brought that 11th step into life, with the action of exercising and running and taking care of myself. And that was the time I spent with my higher power in the morning, and that just worked wonderfully. But I want to get back to the third step, because it had such an impact on me early in my recovery. And I'm not interpreting the third step, nor am I interpreting any step. I'm just relating to you my experience with that step. I was getting ready to work my third step, and my sponsor instructed me that when he first worked his third step, he looked at the third step as a contract with his higher power. It was a contract with his higher power. And he wanted to be sure that that was cemented, and that he had an understanding, and that his sponsor had an understanding of exactly what he was going to do in that third step. So he went to a business supply store, and he bought a limited partnership agreement. Okay, and the general partner, of course, was his higher power, and he became the limited partner. Okay, and he wrote the names in, and then he thought, well, in any partnership agreement, there's always, there's responsibilities. One partner has some responsibilities. The other partner has some responsibilities. And he said, I'm going to list those responsibilities on my partnership agreement with my higher power. And so he did. And he listed, going to meetings, that's my responsibility. Sponsoring people, that's one of my responsibilities. Working the steps, being a service, the things we do here in program. Okay, and so then he went to the other side of the ledger, and he was going to describe what he thought his higher power's responsibilities were going to be. And he really couldn't come up with anything concrete other than it was his job to do the worrying. It was his job to do the worrying. And so he came to the conclusion, and as he was instructing me to do this third step, he came to the conclusion that this: I do the work and he does the worry. And he doesn't like me doing any of the worrying. And he won't do one bit of the work. And so that was his partnership agreement with his higher power. Now, and I like that, and I wanted to do it too. And at that time, I went out to a few business supply stores, and they had quit printing those damn forms, and so I couldn't get one. So I kind of just made it up on my own on a piece of paper. But it served the same purpose: is that I stay out of the results, let him worry about the results. My job is to just do the work, and things will turn out just the way they're supposed to. They'll turn out just the way they're supposed to, and. And furthermore, they're exactly the way they're supposed to be. If I'm in God's, if I'm turning my life and my will, or sharing my life and my will with my higher power, if I'm really taking a serious third step, things are just the way they're supposed to be right now. Things are in perfect order right now in my life. And things are going to turn out just the way they're supposed to, because I don't have to do the worry. I don't have to worry about the results. I just have to do the work. And that concept really works well for me. Now, in our little group, we were talking about health problems, going through operations and traumatic things in our lives. But specifically, we were talking about medical operations. And as I shared with you, I'd had a few heart operations. And I remember talking to my, I thought, oh my God, this is horrible. I'm going to have this heart operation. I'm probably going to die. This is the end of my life. I'll never see my family again. I couldn't dream up a worst case scenario if I stayed up all night. And so I talked to my sponsor, and he said, well, wait a minute. He said, didn't you do a third step? Didn't we go through a third step? I said, yeah, but what the hell has that got to do with this? Don't you understand? I'm going in for a heart operation. And he said, if you did a thorough third step, like I suggested you do, and like we did together, that is not your problem. It's not your problem. That heart thing is not your problem. That's his problem. Let him worry about it. It's going to turn out just the way it's supposed to. You just keep focused on what you're doing, and things will turn out just fine. And I thought, that was great. That's great. I don't have to worry about it. I'm just, as he instructed me, he said, you're just an interested observer. That's all you are. That's not your problem. You're just an interested observer in what he's going to do. And that completely alleviated me of that fear. There was no fear. I went into that thing, told me all about it. In fact, my first operation was an angioplasty, which I think probably some of you guys have had. You look on the little set and you watch them going down your vein, and they pump it up, and the blockage is cleared, and they take it out. So, yep, you're done. And, over the years, I've had, I think, four of them, I guess, now. And but I always go in with that attitude, that third step attitude. And we were sharing in our group, too, about modifying the third step prayer, which I learned also from my sponsor. God, I offer this specific situation, this heart operation, to you. You do with it what you want. Just relieve me of the bondage of self, that I'm better able to do your will. That's all I want. And so that works really good for me. I see, I'm just an interested observer in this deal. And so I want to share a little bit more about the third step. And in this sense that I don't know what is going to happen. I don't have I try to, as they teach you in program, live in this day, live in this moment. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And I don't, it's not really none of my business. My business is today. That's my business. And so I always think of that, and we're talking about character defects here for a minute, that my higher power may have use for me with certain character defects, right? Which Rex was sharing. And so that, to me, again, carries back to that 11th step again. I'm only praying for knowledge of His will for me and the power to carry that out, even though I may have no idea what it is. So it may be for me to have that character defect. I may have use to Him with that character defect. And so let's talk about fear for a minute. For example, getting back to this operation thing, fear. I can do that modified third step prayer. I can modify that third step prayer. And then I ask, you know, in a sixth and seventh step, maybe to have that fear removed. And then it is incumbent upon me then to act as if it's been removed. That's all. I don't have the fear anymore. I'm going to act just like I don't have the fear anymore. I don't have any character defect anymore until I hear differently from Him. That's my attitude. And so that works really good. That works really good. I can act as if it's been removed. Whether it'll be or not, that's up to Him. So I don't worry about that either. That's His job, and I let Him worry about that. But I like that idea of character defects. He may have use for us with certain character defects. And that was a good example you used, too. So anyway, I like all the steps, but I think after that story about Bill Wilson, 3 and 11 really are important steps in my life. And I use them a lot. And I find a lot of application for them. And of course, when I work completely through the steps, I do them thoroughly as I can. I try to do the steps, maybe every... Not any longer than 5 years, but 3 to 5 years I try to redo the steps again. Not on the same stuff I'd done before, but on stuff that's occurred during that 3 to 5 year period. I again redo the steps with my sponsor. And so the object of that is that I just seem to reach a little higher spiritual plateau every time I do the steps. I seem to get a little higher up the ladder, you know. And I continue to do that, and I encourage people that I sponsor to do that as well. You know, when it's time to do the steps, it's time to do the steps. And I just reach a certain point of uncomfort. You know, I get a little uncomfortable. I start thinking I've got some character defects that are flourishing here. I've got some resentments, fears, sex problems, and then low self-esteem. There's not a lot of really core character defects. But then I know it's time again to do an inventory. It's time to do the steps again. So I start and I go through the whole step process again. So anyway, I don't think I have anything further to say on that subject. Anyway, we had some topics left, I'd added a few just to give you a selection. So let's again break up. I guess we decided we want to break up into different groups this time. And some mathematical genius here had a way to to count off. So we'll all end up in different groups this time. So go. Do you want to explain that, and we'll count off? And
well, okay. Are we all sitting in the same spot? No. Well, there's a people aren't here. Why don't you count off starting at three? That'll change the.
Yes.
There's kind of people. Start on that side.
Okay.
Just start
over there. Another
one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1,
oh,
okay, and then.
One.
He'll be one again, right? And then?
I'm at two.
Oh, you guys are already in?
Yep.
Is anybody we missed? Okay. Okay. Well, let's see. How are we going to choose the topics here for the groups? Here's what I have for topics. We'll give the group number one first choice, and then we'll go down the line. We've got sponsorship, body image, anonymity, service, tradition, the traditions, meetings, relationships, and relapse prevention.
Should we break up into our groups so everybody, so we can decide?
Okay.
So all the ones over here, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Okay.
One.
All right.
Okay. Okay, one, you guys get first choice.
Yeah. So what are our choices again?
Sponsorship, body image, anonymity, service, the traditions, meetings, relationships, and relapse prevention. Okay, let me get my pen. All right, relationship.
You're number one.
Yes. Okay, where's... Hold on. Where's group number two?
Here we are.
Okay, now you guys have a choice here of what's left. All right, you ready? Sponsorship. Body image. Anonymity, service, the traditions, meetings, and relapse prevention. Body image, okay, and your group number two. Okay, group number three. Relapse prevention is three. All right, group number four. We already got that. Somebody already got it. Yes. You want me to tell you what's left? Sponsorship? Hold on just a minute, you guys. You ready? Sponsorship, anonymity, service, the traditions, and meetings.
Like, tell you where's the other five?
You got a choice? You want me to give you one? Sponsorship? Anonymity, service, the traditions, and meetings. Sponsorship? Okay. All right, group number five. Meetings? Okay.
What's left?
Hold on. Okay, number six, you have anonymity, service, and the traditions. Service? Okay. All right, everybody's got a group and a topic. Okay. Are you one?
Are
you guys one?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm
one.
So we're going to go out or something? Waiting for you guys to go.